While looking at the cowherd man, Bhattu said, Madhu Mangal said, O residents of Vrindavan, do not be afraid. You are just scratching the body of Giriraj with your sticks. But do not think that you're holding up the hill. Krishna is not the least bit tired. Besides, he is the brother of Balaram, who is famous for his unlimited strength. The pure and potent body of Krishna emits a dazzling radiance. Only a sudden calamity could reduce that effulgence. Oh, my friend Krishna, observing the trembling of your body, I can understand that the beautiful face of that famous Sakhi Radhika has put you into great distress. The Prince of Vrindavan is the abode of unfathomable attributes. His face is as fresh as a blue lotus flower bathed in the soft moonlight. When he smiles attractively, his beautiful teeth sparkle like a thousand rays of light. A radiant pearl necklace adorns his chest. Krishna reveals the ecstasy in his heart by gently moving his reddish lips. After listening to the playful words of Bhattu, Krishna responded sweetly to the delight of his intimate friends. He said, the cowherd men have a very favorable attitude towards me, and therefore I always fulfill their desires. Oh, Bhattu, why are you laughing at them? The Brijbasis do not know the inconceivable power of my body, nor do they know that the famous Radhika is actually one of my matchless forms. Radha's body is not different from me, and she is my favorite. The gopas attempted to hold up Giriraj, simply proclaiming their parental love for me. Indeed, their action is quite befitting. What could be more pleasurable than this? Then Krishna spoke to the gopas. Oh, gopas, you are famous for reposing all your love in me. So why do you behave like this? Even though the great Mahadev, the father of Ganesh, respects you, you are acting like you're acting like common men. Give up this wearisome endeavor. Just look at me. You can plainly see that I am not the least bit tired. Just like a cow hankering to see her calf, Yashoda Maya then stepped forward and spoke affectionately to her son. O beloved one, the day has moved along, and you, my dear son, appear afflicted and lackluster from not eating. Your belly has caved in and your jeweled belt has slipped off. Seeing that your lotus face has withered from fasting, the cows refuse to eat anything or even move an inch from here, even though nearby there are fields rich with barley grains. Therefore, I appeal to you on behalf of the cows, because you are very compassionate, please stop playing artistically on your flute and drop your arm so I can feed you with my hand. One whose actions are exemplary will adjust his behavior according to the conditions. I've brought you some warm, soft cakes and tasty, creamy yogurt with thick skin on top. Now, take these delicious items along with Rama and along with your other friends. Bhattu Marumangal then said, Oh, my dear friend, your mother spoke correctly. You should never go against her. Moreover, I am also upset by hunger. Krishna, the crest jewel of relishes, said, Oh, mother, I do not feel like a single moment has passed. Yet, why do others think that this short time to be so long? But since one should not disobey his superiors, I think it is proper for you, for me, to gladly eat in front of your hand, from your hand. Meanwhile, holding a brilliant flashing lightning bolt in his hand, Indra sped through the sky on his elephant carrier. Though sitting on his elephant carrier, Aravata, Indra actually rode upon the chariot of his own anger. showing his unflinching affection towards the rain clouds. Indra cracked the sky and made everyone cry with tumultuous thundering sounds, hissing like an angry snake. Indra raced to Vrindavan to survey the situation. Since he had already sent the Samvartaka clouds a few days previously, he assumed Vrindavan must now be totally demolished. Astonishment seized Indra's mind upon seeing the dense peaks of Govardhan piercing the huge Samvartaka clouds and soaring above them. The deer, the birds, and the other living entities of Vrindavan wandered about happily, unaffected by Indra's torrents of rain. Clusters of white clouds completely covered the base of Govardhan. These clouds enhanced the beauty of Giriraj as they washed the mountain with the rains of devastation. Giriraj looked like a huge umbrella, and the clouds seemed like decorative fringes of pearls ornamenting that umbrella. While observing this, Indra, thinking himself the supreme controller, decided to exhibit the limit of his anger. Cruel-hearted Indra disrespected both the cows and the Lord. And in order to destroy the land of cows, Goloka, he instigated the clouds of devastation to thunder menacingly and pour incessant rain on Vrindavan. Out of fear, the clouds dutifully and immediately followed the directions of Indra. With the mood of a determined fighter, the furious storm tried to blow away Giriraj with severely high winds. Sri Hari, his effulgent jewel-like body washed by the moonlight of his smile, instantly removed whatever hardship Giriraj felt from the lightning bolts, from the heavy hailstones, from the profuse rains, and from the highly piercing winds. By seeing Krishna's effulgence and feeling the sweet breath from his lustrous lotus face, Giriraj felt totally relieved while relishing the exciting adventure of the Lord. Outside the shelter of the hill, the fearsome thunderbolts crisscrossed the sky. They looked like creepers of light dangling in the air. Ominous dark clouds loaded with rain flashed with occasional rainbows. Beneath Giriraj, the cloud-like Mukunda himself and the steady streaks of lightning gopis created another type of storm. The rainbow appeared as the peacock feather on Krishna's crown, and the stream of Krishna's beauty flowed like the constant rain. The only difference was that underneath the mountain, Krishna's brilliant Kostuba gem served as the effulgent sun. Krishna is the perfect lover. His face is a spotless moon, and his eyes are always roaming. To completely remove the Brijbasi's anxiety about the fatigue of him having lifted Giriraj, Krishna again sweetly played on his murli. Hearing that ambrosial sound, one Brijbasi said, "Look, look, a blue lotus hangs over Krishna's left ear. The pleasing vibration of his blissful flute spreads in all directions. In this joyful pastime, his creeper-like right eyebrow rises slightly, as if saying, 'What can you say about my left hand, which is effortlessly lifting up Giriraj?' Thus glittering with excellence, the all-attractive Giridhari displays his sweet power." By the mercy of Govardhan Hill, the Brijbasis did not feel the least bit disturbed. Rather, they tasted endless happiness, passing their time absorbed in loving thoughts of Krishna. This pastime completely astonished the Brahmanas and other devotees fixed in neutrality in Santaras. Radhika and the gopis and Madhuras exhibited their deep love for Krishna amongst his friends in Sakyaras. The Dokas, like Madhu Mangal, pleased Krishna by laughing and merrymaking. Intimate friends like Subal continually enthused and encouraged Krishna. Raktak, Patrak, and others in Dasyaras constantly served Krishna with affection. Thus, the different associates of Krishna delighted in their individual loving relationships with him as he held aloft Giriraj Govardhan with a little finger of his left hand. Madhu Yashoda and others, overcome with parental affection, Vatsalya Ras, however, felt very sad to see Krishna like this. To please her son, Yashoda tried to offer Krishna some juicy camphorized tambula made of cardamom, nutmeg, cloves, lime paste, katachu, and betel nut. Wrapped in a deep green pan leaf, this expertly made tambula had the power to aid digestion, remove anxiety, and fill one with pleasure. Holding it in her lotus palm, Yashoda tenderly offered it to Krishna while pleading, "Oh, my darling Damodar, please stop playing your melodious merle. The sound of the flute cannot fill your stomach. Please take this and remove my anxiety. Why are you disturbing my mind by not eating? Now eat this wonderful tambula, which will enchant your mind. If you do not want it, then at least eat something that you like very much. You have passed many days without eating, so do not delay any more. If you're waiting for the rain to stop, then please consider that your brother Balaram is very much afflicted by hunger. Since you will do anything for Balaram, for your brother, please honor my request and accept this tambula." After saying this, Yashoda called, "Subal, you are overflowing with love for Krishna. Since you are also the dear object of his affection, will you please offer this tambula to Krishna?" And saying this, Yashoda put the tambula in the hand of Subal. Krishna's dear friend Subal felt boundless joy as he held the tambula in one hand and removed Krishna's flute with his other hand, and taking the edge of his cloth, he gently cleansed Krishna's lotus face, which was adorned with agaru and slightly reddish in hue. And seeing Krishna's lips turn red from chewing the tambula offered by Subal, Yashoda Maya smiled in happiness.